Good afternoon, friends. My name is Tony. I am a member of Grace Community Church in Southern California. I'm out here with the prayerful support of my pastors and elders. And this week, I'm under the authority of my dear friend and brother, Pastor Jeff Kirkland of Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in St. Louis. My brothers and I are out here to proclaim to you this day to Christ, the Son of the living God. We are out here to share with you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. That is Jesus Christ. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess, whether on earth or in heaven or under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ, as the second person of the Trinity, one God in three persons, is Lord of every man. The Word of God says that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. But my friends, that goes well beyond that. He not only owns all the cattle, He not only owns all the hills that the cattle is on, but He owns you, my friend. He owns you and He owns me. You are not independent. You are not autonomous, my dear friends. You are under the sovereign rule of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whether or not you have submitted to His Lordship in your life, or you live in wanton rebellion against Him now, either way, Jesus Christ is Lord. Contrary to what many churches today teach, you do not make Jesus the Lord of your life. You do not invite Him to be Lord. You do not elect Him to be Lord. He is already Lord. And He is not looking to sit on the puny, dirty chair that you call the throne of your heart, when He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He sits enthroned over all the universe that He has created. He is very God, and there is none like Him. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who is with the Father in creation. All things were created by Him and through Him and for Him. Nothing has ever been made, dear friends, that was not made by the hands of Jesus Christ. He is the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and He is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah who will judge both the living and the dead. Whether or not you are in submission to Him now, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is your Lord. He is your King. That is why you will be without excuse when you stand before Him. Jesus Christ is good, He is holy, He is righteous, He is just. And my dear friends, you must understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That in Christ all of the treasures of knowledge are hidden. That apart from Christ, you can make no sense of anything, dear friends. You cannot give a justification for your ability to reason. You cannot assert that your reasoning is valid. You cannot assert that your morality is either good or bad. Apart from God, apart from Christ. He is sovereign over everything. He is sovereign over your body. He is sovereign over your mind. He is sovereign over your heart. Whether or not you acknowledge Him. And as ruler, as king over every human being, what should grip you with fear more than anything else, dear friends, is the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Because God is good, He cannot sin, He cannot lie. And He has said that He will judge the world in righteousness. He has said that anyone who takes His name in vain will not escape His justice, His punishment. He will not pardon the guilty because He is good. Because He is good. My dear friends, I want to make sure you understand. So much science, so much wonderful science going on around us. People who would say that they believe in science, but they don't believe in God, dear friend. You're deluding yourself. You know that God exists. There are no atheists. There are no agnostics. There are no skeptics. There are simply people who suppress the truth by their unrighteousness, professing to be professing to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of God, their Creator, to worship created things, whether fish or bird or animal or people. And how people do that, how some people suppress the truth they know about God is by creating fairy tales for grown-ups, like Darwinian evolution, and like atheism. My dear friends, if you profess to be an atheist, you must understand that you are as religious as I am. If you profess to be an atheist, you are as religious as I am. You have simply replaced the God that you know exists with the God of self. You love yourself and you love your sin more than you love God, and so you delude yourself in trying to convince yourself that God doesn't exist, and you worship the man in the mirror. No, my dear friend, God has written the reality of his existence on your heart, and his creation, including you, testifies to the glory and the reality of God. And he has also written his law on your heart, dear friends. You were created in the image of God. And as an image bearer of God, you know it's wrong to lie because you know that God is truth. You were created in the image of God. And as an image bearer of God, you know it's wrong to steal or to hate or to harbor bitterness or resentment in your heart. Because being an image bearer of God, you know that God is love. You know it's wrong to take the name of the Lord your God in vain, to use his name to express disgust or excitement, or to worship any false god you've created in your imagination, whether it's the false god of Islam, or the billions of false gods of Mormonism, or the billions of false gods of Hinduism, or the false god of Jehovah's Witnesses, or the false gods, yes, plural gods, of Roman Catholicism. You are without excuse, dear friends. And you know what I'm telling you is true because God has written this reality on your heart. And you will stand before this almighty Creator. You will stand before your Lord. Not that you have made him Lord, but that he is already Lord over you because he created you. You will stand before him. You will be without excuse. You will not be able to claim innocence or ignorance of violating his law. And because God is good, dear friends, because he is holy and righteous and just, he must punish sin. For him to turn a blind eye to sin would make him a corrupt judge. You cannot bribe the God of the universe. You cannot bribe the judge of the universe with your religion. Going to church on Sunday, living like hell Monday through Saturday, living the life of a hypocrite, he will not accept your bribe. He will not accept your bribe of your own perceived goodness, your own good works. My friend, do you not know that the Word of God says that everything you do, anything you do, if it does not proceed from faith in Jesus Christ, it is sin. Dear friend, if you see someone laying on the tracks down here as the train is coming up, and you run down there and you push them out of the way, and you sacrifice your own life, if you did not do that by faith in Jesus Christ, God sees it as a filthy rag. God does not see it as good. I'm surrounded by military veterans here. If one of my dear brothers jumped on a grenade to save other men and women, and they did not do that out of faith in Christ and for the glory of Christ, they have sinned against God by jumping on that grenade. He sees that work as a filthy rag. That's how holy God is. That is how holy God is. And because God is holy, because he is righteous and just, because he is good, he must punish sin. And the punishment that God has determined for sin is eternity in hell. Dear friends, we are not here today because we want that for you. We are here today because we love you, because we care about you as fellow human beings, and the last thing we want to see happen to you is that you have the wrath of God fall upon you. It's for you to spend eternity in hell as a just punishment for your sins. We do not want that for you. We love you. See, because God has saved us by his grace, because he has saved us by the grace of God alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, we not only understand, but we love the two greatest commandments of God, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we can show no greater worship for God. We can show no greater love for God than coming out here, maybe looking like a fool to you, to bring the name of God, His Son Jesus Christ, to you. We can do nothing more loving to you as our neighbor. We can do nothing more loving for you as a fellow human being than to warn you of the wrath of God to come and to point you to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for your salvation. And this same God, my dear friends, who is angry with the wicked every day, this same God who will judge the world in righteousness, this same God whose wrath abides upon the ungodly, is the same God, for there is only one who is loving, merciful, gracious, and kind. And He showed God great love, dear friends, 2,000 years ago, when God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. God bless you, sir. Fully God and fully man and without sin. He was born of a virgin, just as the prophet Isaiah declared 700 years before He was born. Do you realize that He not only declared that He would be born of a virgin, but He declared that He would be born in Bethlehem? Were you aware that there is more than one Bethlehem in Israel? He not only declared that it would be the town called Bethlehem, He declared that it would be the smallest of the towns of Bethlehem, and that He would be born of a virgin. Because the Word of God is true. Because the prophets of God are true. He lived a perfect, sinless life, dear friends. Do you understand what that means? He never once, from cradle to the cross, violated the Word of God in thought, word, or deed. My dear friends, if you think that you are good enough to stand before God, declare your own goodness, and have Him welcome you into the kingdom of heaven, know this. If you're going to do that apart from Christ, you must live a perfect life in thought, word, and deed from cradle to grave. How are you doing today? How are you doing today? I know I've fallen short of that standard today, dear friends. But yet Jesus said, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I'm not. Are you? Anyone else here perfect? But yet God doesn't lower His standard simply because we are unable to live up to it, because He is holy and no sin can be in His presence. And so here the God-man humbled Himself to take on the form of human flesh, and then humbled Himself even further to allow His own creation, His own sinful creation, to treat him in such a way as to carve up His body to the extent that He could barely be recognized as human. And then they nailed Him to the cross. They nailed Him to the cross. He who had no sin, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, died a horrible bloody death on the cross. He did not deserve to take upon Himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. And unlike every false god created in the imaginations of men, Jesus Christ is alive today. Dear friends, you must understand, Muhammad cannot save you. Muhammad is dead. And the false god he created in his imagination can't help you either. Because he didn't exist outside of the sinful mind of a profane prophet by the name of Muhammad. Buddha can't save you. Buddha's dead. The billions of false gods of Mormonism and Hinduism and other Eastern religions can't save you, my friends. They do not exist. The only God who can save you is the only God who is alive today, who forever defeated sin and death when He shed His innocent blood on the cross and rose from the grave. And that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And all of God's promises are yes and amen, dear friends. The same God who promises to punish sinners is the same God who promises to save sinners. How can God do that without being contradictory? How can God do that? It happened at the cross. The cross is where justice and mercy kiss, dear friends. God cannot turn a blind eye on your sin. He cannot simply look away and ignore it and let you into heaven. He must maintain the standard that is a mirror, that is a reflection of His own character. He cannot simply let you go. He must punish sin. So how is it that God, who must punish sin, can let sinners go? It happened at the cross. Because only God can appease the wrath of God. And only the perfect man, the God-man, Only Jesus Christ can take the place of sinners. And that's what happened at the cross. It is where justice and mercy kiss, dear friends. And what God commands of you is the same thing He commands of me and my friends and all people everywhere, and that's that you repent, that you turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Dear friends, please understand that the God who created you does not negotiate with sinners. You will not stand before Him and plead a case. The day of judgment is not a court trial, dear friends, where you present evidence of your religion, of your good deeds, of your self-righteousness. No, the day of judgment is a day of sentencing. For if you do not submit to Christ now, if you do not obey Jesus, if you do not love the Son of God, the wrath of God abides on you. You have already been found guilty, dear friends. You have already been sentenced to death. You are simply waiting for the judge to carry out your execution. You are dead people walking without Christ. But oh, if you humble yourself before God, dear friends, if you humble yourself before God, if you turn from your sin and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, He will save you. He will forgive your sin. He will make you new. He will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Dear friends, please listen. Listen to what the Word of God says. In Ezekiel 36, verses 22 to 36. Dear friends, listen. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will deliver you from all your uncleanness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on that day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt, and the land that was desolate shall be tilled, instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who pass by. And they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left all around you shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to increase their people like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. 16 times in those 16 verses, God Almighty declares through the prophet Ezekiel that He will accomplish what He will accomplish. I will. my dear friend, that should either cause you to tremble today, or that should fill you with joy. Because God will punish the wicked, and God will save his elect. God will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh if you come to him on his terms, that you repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You can have the assurance, you can have the hope that he will save you. He will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west, and he will remember it no more. He also says, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. Now, of course, the context is, he's talking about the nation of Israel that had profaned his great name generation after generation after generation. But my dear friends, you must understand that if you have not submitted to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are like Israel of old, and you are profaning his name, and he will vindicate his holy name as he crushes you like powder, and as he sentences you to hell for all eternity. Dear friend, I don't want that for you. I don't want that to be your life, your eternal life. But you must repent. You must, by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and he will save you. He will forgive your sin. He will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He will do all these things. Why? Because salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not because you prayed a prayer. I prayed a prayer. It's not because I go to church. It's not because I do good works. It's not because I tithe to the church. It's not because I work the soup kitchen. It's not because I feed the homeless. It's not because I clothe the poor. It's not because I built a house in Mexico. Salvation's of none of that. Salvation is of the Lord. He will do it. And he will do it first to glorify his own great name. But dear friends, understand, your life will bring him glory, whether he saves you or destroys you. My dear friends, contrary to what the American church has taught you, God does not sit in yonder heaven with a hole in his heart shaped like you that only you could fill. He's not up there crying because you reject him. The angels aren't sitting in a huddle weeping because you will not turn to Jesus. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He is full and complete and lacking in nothing. He is perfect. No, my dear friends, you need to understand that while the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents, all of heaven will rejoice at the destruction of the wicked who refuse to repent, because God is holy and he will receive glory through either judgment or salvation of sinners. Our hope for you, dear friend, please, hear me. Our hope for you is that you would be counted among the latter, those whom by his grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, he saves. And that the angels would rejoice at your salvation as you repent and believe the gospel. God will do this. God is faithful. God is faithful even when we are faithless, because he cannot deny himself, dear friends. So please, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, dear friend. He gives grace, and grace is what you need. Grace is what you need. Pride kills you. Pride poisons you. Pride destroys you. Pride condemns you. No matter where that pride is, whether you're a proud homosexual or a proud fundamentalist Baptist, your pride kills you. But if you humble yourself, if you humble yourself before God, and by faith and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ, submit to him as your Lord and your Savior, he will save you. He will save you. That is the promise of God, not the promise of men. So if you hear his voice, please, do not harden your hearts this day. Cry out to Jesus Christ the Lord. Ask Him to remove you from the kingdom of darkness and bring you into His marvelous light. Turn to Christ and live. Turn to Christ and live.
Amen, brother.
Amen.